Started a series last Sunday morning called The Outrageous End Time Signs. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8. We're going to try and finish it up this evening to be done with that because God says that in the last days there's going to be a proliferation of signs that point to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you want to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when he returns and he will rapture those who have their faith in him. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8. Here's what we read, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to enumerate it. Perhaps you want to mark them in your Bible, perhaps not, but you have it at least in the first study notes. It's not in the continuation. The continuation study notes that we'll be going over tonight are on the back, a little stand as you come in. Here it says this: know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I talked to you about the word perilous. It means outrageously evil times. Perilous times shall come. And then he gives a listing. Number one, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Number two, covetous. Number three, boasters. Number four, proud. Number five, blasphemers. Number six, disobedient to parents. Number seven, unthankful. Number eight, unholy. Number nine, without natural affection. Number 10, truce breakers. Number 11, false accusers. 12, incontinent. 13, fierce. 14, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, 15, heady, 16, high-minded, 17, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 18, having a form of godliness, 19, and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin. Lead captive silly women laden with sin, number 20. Led away of diverse lusts. I just believe that that's a part of number 20 there. Ever learning, 21. Never able to come to a knowledge of a truth, part of 21 there. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. There you go, number 22, resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, 23, and lastly, 24, reprobate concerning the truth. We are living, I believe, in those last days. I have seen the degeneration of culture. You've seen it. If you're over 40 years old, you've seen the plummeting of our culture into outrageous, perverse things. It's a difficult, outrageous, dangerous. That's what the word perilous means. And it all hinges on the fact, as we saw in number one in verse two, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-centered, narcissistic, they're egotistical, self-obsessed, self-loving. And this is the foundation of all the rest of the degeneration that we studied. It's based right on those things that we have looked at. And so I broke it up into some different groupings. The first one was lovers of their selves. And then number two, disobedient to parents. We looked at that. That's the second grouping, a whole lot related to there. We have kids that are unthankful, unholy. If they get a chance, they'll stuff their parents in a nursing home and rob the bank account if possible. What a tragedy, some of those things that we see happening in relationship to the disrespect of parents today. On the new notes, last week we looked without natural affection. That's a phrase that means there's no family love. That's why they can go out and get abortions. That's why they clapped. If you saw them clapping, the Democrats clapping in New York when They said that you can abort a baby right up to the point of it being born, and everybody's clapping and cheering. That's without natural affection. Additionally, we see all kinds of things today. Adam Clark says this, without natural affection, which parents bear to the young, kids are in the way, so they push the kids out of the way. The kids are under feet, and all the kinds of things that relate to there. Now we're coming to new ground this evening. If you'll look at the little word, truce breakers. For those of my Greek students, that's the word espandas, and it refers to an individual that absolutely refuses to be reconciled. They will not forgive. They refuse to lay aside hatred. They just will not listen to terms of reconciliation. They close their mind to it. They'll even make promises, but they feel under no obligation to keep them. That's what a truce breaker is. They readily promise anything, but they never intend to keep their promises or the contracts that they make. So crazy, all of the forms you have to sign today when you go in to get a loan from the bank. You're signing papers, and then a lot of times I remember deals when I was growing up with my dad. My dad would give a person a bid on a job, and you know what kind of a contract they had? My dad and the man shook hands. That was it. There wasn't any paper involved. And yet, as things went along, when we got to the bigger jobs, my dad found out that it was necessary to have them sign a paper because there were so many who were truce breakers. They would not keep their word. Their word didn't mean anything to that. If we look at how this works out on an international level, how many times have the Arab nations signed a truce agreement with Israel? Numbers and numbers and numbers of times they've signed a truce agreement. Oftentimes, before the ink is dry, guess what? They're breaking their word. They're shooting missiles into Israel. They're doing whatever they want. They break it every time. But I would like to talk about being a truce breaker on a personal level. You know, this is at the bottom of so many broken homes. Men and women that I have married, a number of them, they've stood at the altar. I have them fill out a form, and I won't marry them unless there are certain things that take place there. And they sign on the line that they believe that marriage is for a lifetime. Men and women have stood at the altar and solemnly pledged their vows to each other. And after they exchange rings and join hands and kiss and seal the marriage, in a couple of years, the vows are thrown out the window and they refuse to reconcile. And so they divorce. It brought tears to my eyes when my granddaughter and her soon-to-be husband, who I will marry, they wanted to write their own vows, and they did, but they added in the vows, I shouldn't have gone here. They added in their vows, I will never divorce you. They added that in the vows. I said, do you want that there? They said, I want that there. What a great tragedy today. When the Bible tells us this, and we need to be people of our word. The Bible says, let your yea be what? Yea. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Be careful. When you say yes to something, you should follow through on it. You shouldn't be a truce breaker. But there's so many people today, their word is not their bond. Their word is not their bond. So, we see this all the time, and you need to be careful. I have a difficult time selling used cars. Here's the reason why I have a difficulty selling used cars. Because when somebody comes to have a used car that I sell to them, I tell them everything that's wrong with it. So by the time that they leave, they say, well, do I really want to buy this car or not? Well, when you're dealing with a used car, I don't want to sully my name as a preacher. I don't want them to get that car home and say, well, he didn't tell me that the air conditioning isn't working well and it probably needs a recharge. Or he didn't tell me there's a belt that slips and squeaks. He didn't tell me that the brakes need to be done. He didn't tell me that there's a rust spot here. I remember buying a truck, and they didn't tell me about the truck. I have the second truck that I've owned in my life. I bought a couple of years ago, but I bought this old truck just to drive back and forth to work, and it had a good engine, but it was pretty rusty. Well, when I drove it home, I put my foot on the floor, and my foot went through the floor as I was getting out of the truck. But have no fear. My wife was missing a cookie sheet because what I did, it worked, brothers, sisters. I took that cookie sheet, put it on the floor, got a mat, put it over, and I drove that truck for three years. But I didn't realize that the floor had been going out of it in there. So all I'm saying is let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. It's a great tragedy today that I've seen it happen more. And I understand that sometimes you can't help it, but I've had a number of people in the past, the 7-8 years, they're having struggles and so on and so forth. I said, what are you going to do with your house? They said, oh, I'm just going to let it go back to the bank. Wait just a minute. You signed the papers there. So even if you have to sell it, be a person of your word. I understand that sometimes there's extenuating circumstances, but I appreciate a person that I worked with for a while, that person said to me, no, if it takes me 10 years, I am not going to go bankrupt. I am just going to pay off those debts that I have, even if it's a little bit at a time. My point is, today, we see snowballed all the time people who do not keep covenants. They do not keep contracts. They are truce breakers, and that should not be. Let's move on to the next one. Coupled with being a truce breaker is a false accuser. I think you'll be surprised if you look up that word in your concordance. It is the word diablos. You know what the diablos is? Devil. You know what that word means? It means slanderer. Slanderer. It is the word that we use for devil. It's translated devil in other places. But Satan is a liar from the beginning, John chapter 8 tells us. Satan is called by that name because he originally accused God of slander in paradise. He said, God didn't really say that. Yea, half God said, that's slander. And applied to human beings, it's one who tries to ruin another's character or reputation by false accusations. I like what my Barnes Concordance said. It says, quote, it means one who excites contentions and quarrels. Well, that's what it says. Matthew Henry put it this way. He says, men have no regard for the good name of others, but think themselves at liberty to say and do what they please, end quote. They have the attitude of those in Psalm 12 and in verse 4, which says, who have said, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? They're not accountable for what they say. They're not accountable for spinning it, for only telling a partial truth. That's what they say, but they are accountable. But God says that these diablos in the last days are going to be there doing that. You know, when men have no government, no self-control over their appetites and their lusts, they're called incontinent. That's what the next word there is. The Greek word is akrates, which means without self-control. No self-control. Some of the great problems that we have in our culture today, even with the drug situation, is that people have no self-control. They don't know how to say no to themselves. One of the things I warn new married couples is don't think that you can have in the first 2 years what has taken your mom and dad 25 years to get together, because it is so easy to get credit today. But I'm amazed still at some of the, I have credit cards, but I pay my credit card off every month. I don't let any balance beyond there. I learned the hard way, but I'll tell you what, credit cards are 14, 16, 18, and if you don't have a good credit rating, there's some credit cards out there that are 26%. That is usury, my friends, when you think about that. That's a more of a quarter. Each month you have this interest that goes up so that by the time you're done, 28%, even 14%. And so you go out and say, well, I can charge it. Well, I just want you to be very cautious on that, because there's tons and tons and tons of people. Why the liberals are pushing is that there's a lot of young people who have college debt. It is sky high, and they are not paying off their college debt. I remember the last payment when Linda and I finally paid off my college debt. I think it was for 10 years that we were married. I was paying off my college debt, paying off my college debt, paying off my college debt. And I was so glad when it was done, but I paid it off. But that's why the government says, well, we should anesthetize all the debt, get rid of all the debt, and then we should just let people go to college and pay their debt. Who's going to pay that? Us. That's, you know what? And they're going to jack up our tax. You can tell I'm not a socialist. You have to have self-control. If you have a credit card, use it carefully. Be self-controlled in it. If you can't, the people that come in and talk with me about that, you know what I do? Well, I just reach into my pocket. I always carry a jackknife, and I said, let me have your credit cards. And then we have a cut-up party. The fact of the matter is one of the characteristics of these end times, and in so many, it's just not financially, sexually. No self-control in our culture. So much of that is a big problem. The next one that we come to is the word fierce. It's coupled, but it's ups the ante. The word fierce means having no rule over their spirit. They're like cities broken down, with broken down walls. They have a quick temper. I mean, a quick temper. They're very soon angry at the least provocation. The Greek word there means to be fierce, to be savage, to be cruel, to be merciless, to be without compassion. I'm just looking at that. There's several missing people now. If you see them on the news, a wife, she disappeared after taking her kids to school, and the husband has a girlfriend, and he's been very savage and cruel all along in relationship to the divorce proceedings, and they found bloody rags and stuff in the house, and nobody knows where they are, and they aren't talking. But the fierceness of the crimes and stuff today, people getting shot for $5, stores being robbed, all the fierceness. Let's move on to The next one, despisers of those that are good. That's exactly what it means. In the last days, people will be hostile to those who hold to conservative values. Can you believe it? You wear a Trump hat. I forget what's the Make America Great or something like that. There's been people who've been beat up. There's been people who have been, I'm just thinking of the guy who came on the ball field where Republicans were playing ball and shot Steve Scalise and several others, but he nearly died. But they are despisers of those that are good, those that hold conservative values, biblical morals. They detest people who are, in Philippians 4:8, who are true and honest and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous. This is obvious in our culture. This is truly obvious in our culture. They hold in contempt people who hold to high moral standards and refuse to go the way of the world. I've been called homophobic. I'll tell you what, I stand on God's word, and God's word says that homosexuality is vile affection. But I'll witness to any homosexual because I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the Savior. In fact, I've been able to lead several of them through to the Lord for the years, and they changed their lifestyle. They're trying to outlaw people doing that. Even in Milwaukee, they're telling counselors that they can't do that. Homophobic, I've been called, a funny mentalist. Xenophobic, I've been called Islamophobic. I've been called intolerant, and many of you have too. You know, prayer is banned from the public schools. Crosses are torn down in cemeteries. The Ten Commandments are removed by court order. Sexual promiscuity and sexual perversion are perfectly fine. But if you try and witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, oh boy, oh, you're in my space. Oh, that offends me. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says we won't be offended, or that, you know what? It's called the offense of the cross. When you stand for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, people oftentimes don't like it. I've had a lady just, not this visitation, I think it was even the year before, but she, get off my property, get off here right now. I had an email a week ago, and they said, you should get permission from Oak Creek before you go from door to door. Hogwash! It is freedom of speech. Somebody said, well, it says right on my door, no solicitation. I'm not soliciting anything. I'm trying to give something away. And that's because I want them to go to heaven. Why do people get so mad when you don't want them to go to hell? I just want them to go to heaven. Yeah, I don't sit there and argue with them, but, you know, cursing and taking the Lord's name in vain is really in vogue today. I'll tell you what, it happens so often. And yet when you say something about Jesus Christ, oh, that's going to be offensive. I look at the television and social media and the immoral and licentious acts that vomit out of the TV and social media sites. But constantly, I have friends who have been shut off from Facebook and shut off from Twitter because of their biblical views that they articulate on those social media sites. But some of the other trash, they just let go by. I'll tell you what, we need to stand for biblical speech, but you know what's happening? More and more biblical speech is being called hate speech. Franklin Graham was kicked off for a time from Facebook. They accused him of hate speech for what he said about Islam. He said, the God of Islam and the God of the Bible are not the same God. Guess what? He's right. Well, I'll tell you what. living a separated life that honors the Lord is mocked, but sexual immorality, homosexuality, and perversion is publicly lauded. Why? Because people today despise that which is good. And then you've got our governor who flies the gay flag in Madison. Well, let's move on to number six. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many of you have ever heard of the word hedonist? All right. It's philedonos. The root word is philos means love, and hedone means hedonism. Hedonism is the pursuit of pleasure and sensual indulgence. They pursue pleasure rather than, it says they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You look that up, it means lovers of pleasure in place of loving God. I think of all the slogans today. I just thought down, and there's tons more if you watch the commercials. Live for today! I want to tell you something. That's real short-sighted. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Solomon wrote, it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. Why is that? Well, you need to prepare to meet God. And in a funeral, a lot of times people think soberly about death. We're all going to be in a casket one day. And are we going to be there with Christ in our hearts so that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord? Or are we just going to be there and go to the other place? As we said when we were kids, H-E double hockey sticks. Hell. Hell's a reality. Heaven's a reality. I'd rather go to heaven, but you need to make the choice now. It isn't about a religion. God isn't going to say, all right, all the Baptists get to go into heaven. He's not going to say that. Give me a break. What God is going to say is, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? What have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world of humanity, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus himself said, I am the way. Didn't say a church, didn't say the Baptist church. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But a hedonist is not thinking that way. They're into themselves. So live for today. Or the other day I was watching there, you owe it to yourself. Oh yeah. Yeah, so that's what I know. That's what I need. I've got diabetes. That's what I need is another big thing of ice cream to eat. That's really good. You owe it to yourself. No. Or how about this? Pleasure is the path to joy. That actually is a Haagen-Dazs slogan. Pleasure is the path to joy. Well, wait a minute. There is pleasure in sin. Moses knew that, and he said that pleasure was short-lived. I'm looking at the Oprah magazine, me. You know, read in Isaiah, you know, that's what the devil did. I. In the last days, people are going to be so self-focused. They don't have time for anybody else. They're focused on pleasure. And yet God says, if you stand for him, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'd rather live a good, clean, moral life and take no part in the so-called pleasures of sin and enjoy eternity in heaven with the Lord, then spend time doing something and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season and ending up in hell. I used this just recently, and it's not original with me, but if I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved and lived a moral life and had my sins forgiven and it all ends up being a lie, I haven't lost anything. But if what the Bible says, that you need to be saved or you're going to go to hell, if you die, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I'm right because I believe the Bible, which is right, then you've lost everything. You've lost everything. You know, we sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. You know what? This life is temporary. And as the poet said, only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will what? Will last. It's there. Don't be a hedonist. Don't be focused on pleasure as the highest good. And then it says, traitors, those who betray others. I think of one of Trump's lawyers, Michael Cohen. When I think of a traitor, I think of his name. And then the word heady. The word signifies the character of somebody who is reckless and somebody rushes headlong without control into matters, without thinking. High-minded, somebody who talks big but doesn't have any backup in it. They're frivolously aspiring. They're full of themselves. They're empty of good. They're puffed up with pride. And you know, they talk about all their big plans, and it's not true. I need to get to the last section now because I don't want to come back to it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. You know, they claim religion and go through rituals of religion, but they lack spiritual life. They lack spiritual life. There's so many who, I'm just thinking of, Buddha Gig. I don't know what his first name is, but he's the one of the ones running for president, and he says that the homosexual lifestyle has brought him closer to God. You know, he has a form of godliness, but how can he say that? If it is God, it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible who calls it vile affection. There's a lot of people who go through all kinds of religious rituals. You know, a religious ritual means nothing. The Pharisees, think about the Pharisees. They added all kinds of religious rituals. If any of you have a herb garden, they said, well, we got to make sure that when we grow our basil, 9 leaves belong to us, but the 10th leaf belongs to the Lord. They give tithes of all that they possess. They give tithes of mint and anise. You know what? You give because you love the Lord. You don't give to earn your salvation. They had it all mixed up. They put the cart before the horse. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can have all these religious rituals. But the problem is this. Today, so many people look at the Bible as kind of like a smorgasbord. Somebody said, what in the world is a smorgasbord? Do any of you know what a smorgasbord is? All right, they call it a buffet today. But when I first came to this town, we went to the Sweden House smorgasbord. Any of you remember that? Okay. All right, that's a buffet. Some of the people, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in literal 24-hour creation. Well, that's smorgasbord religion. God says he created the world in 6 days. The evening and the morning was what? The first day. That's one day, 24 hours. Evening and morning, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. The evolution has to be in there someplace. Yeah, it is. It's in the devil's Bible. I just believe that God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. But so many people have that smorgasbord religion, and they say, Lord, Lord, I had a lady tell me, I go to church more than you do. She did. She went to church every day. She went there every day. But you know what? It isn't church that gets you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I worship the Lord every day. I have my Bible study in my prayer time. And really it isn't true. If she was talking about going to a building and performing a ritual, I come to this building every day. But it isn't coming to this building that has anything to do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What you do is you worship God in spirit. What is that? Right here between your ears. And truth. So, I'll just got to hustle along. They have religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hence, they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. False believers, they try to get others to follow them into immorality. Look at verse 6, if you would, and explain a little bit of this. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin. They weasel their way into families. You know, there's a lot of ladies who aren't real happy with the life that they have with their husbands. They weasel their way into families, these so-called religious people, and try to spiritually seduce weak women and oftentimes end up physically seducing them. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just going to say it. It's been proved. Bill Hybels, pastor of this mega church down in Illinois. And you know what? He weaseled his way into the lives of a number of women there, and he's not the only one. Baptist preacher in Hammond, Indiana, who's in jail for 10 years, he did the same thing. A number of mega church pastors, in fact, I had a black pastor tell me that there are a number of the inner city churches, the black pastors have like their harem because it's filled with a lot of women. And they're constantly, what they're doing is seducing, and that's exactly what it says here in verse 6. It says, led captive silly women laden with sins and led away of diverse lusts. They get in there and they have their lustful way with that. 7, ever learning. They're constantly learning, but they aren't saved. Why? They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, the fact is they don't really want to know the truth. That's Jannes and Jambres are used as an illustration. It says, so these also resisted the truth. Moses told them the truth, but because of their false religion, because of their false philosophy, they didn't believe Moses. And there's a lot of people who have the mindset, how many times have you heard it? Christianity is way too easy. I must have to do something. Boy, I'm sure thankful. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Free gift. Jesus paid for your sins here. It's free. What do you have to do? You have to accept it. They resisted the truth, the Bible. It'll never make sense to them because it says they are men of corrupt minds. And then it says, reprobate concerning the faith. I believe that we are living in those days just prior to the rapture. If the rapture came right now, and the Bible's true, and believers were taken away, would you still be here? You would if you haven't trusted exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Oh, there'd be a pile of clothes there because human stuff will be gone. We'll have a transformed body. We'll be in wonderful light clothed in white robes. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.